There's a place in New York where you can walk through the actual front doors of the world's most famous recording studio, Abbey Road. Through those doors, past the Beatles, Pink Floyd, Radiohead, and countless other rock giants. Where can you find those doors? At the Hard Rock Cafe Times Square. The Abbey Road doors and thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock Cafes, Hard Rock Casinos, and Hard Rock Hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Stephen's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
This is the Mighty Manfred, and it's time for your coolest conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock and Little Stephen's Underground Garage. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow and subscribe, rate, and review. Joining me today is Mickey Lee, frontman for Mickey Lee's Mutated Music. And Mickey is Joey Ramone's younger brother. Their life together he features in his memoir called I Slept with Joey Ramone, which I highly recommend. Mickey's also pursued his own music career, and that's led to collaborations with the likes of Lester Bangs, as well as fronting several groups, including the Rattlers and now Mickey Lee's Mutated Music, who had a recent coolest song in the world with Lost in Space, their new single out on Wicked Cool Records. Let's hear some of that now, and then I'll be back with Mickey Lee for today's Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock and Little Stephen's Underground Garage.
You have nothing to do. You can hear two books through. You, you're an animal. You're an animal. I have things to do. I have been to NYU. I'm an animal. I'm an animal. With every step we take, every rule we break, look me in your face. Now we're lost in space.
Mighty Manfred with you once more for our Coolest Conversations. And today we get to check in with musician and writer Mickey Lee, younger brother of Joey Ramone, and he's done a lot to promote his brother's legacy. But Mickey has always been an artist in his own right, and those efforts have led to collaborations with the likes of Lester Bangs and notoriety for his own music projects like the Rattlers, and now his current group, Mickey Lee's Mutated Music. Hey, Mickey, how are you?
Hey, Manfred. I mean, you know, after that, all the things you've just said I've done, I'm exhausted.
Well, you're up there in the hierarchy of rock gods, rock legends.
Well, I guess, but I've never gotten the big major label record deal, and I consider myself the most successful failure in the music business.
But but Mickey, you are in the Hall of the Immortals here in the Underground Garage, and that's all.
Well, that's a good place to be. I'm in good company.
So we spoke, it's like last April, last March, around the time that your first single for Wicked Cool Records, Felt Like Love, came out. How have things been going for you then since in New York with the virus and all?
Well, the virus, the protest, it's always fun to be alive, but it's got its moments where you wonder, like, what the hell is going on in this world? It's been the same for me as it's been for just about everybody, especially people in bands who just have never before in their lives not been able to play outside in front of people. Although, I wrote a text to Stephen a few days ago saying the best medicine we could have gotten this year is the medicine that you guys have given us, all of you, Livy, Manfred, Kid Leo, everyone. So it's really helped keep us going.
Well, thanks.
But it's been horrible, man. I mean, this world is a ball of confusion, to another great song. And we're just trying to get by, man. I try to stay away from everybody, which is not a good thing to have to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks. Thanks, though. I really appreciate your thoughts about the station and the channel helping.
No, it's really true, man. First of all, it's just a great station. It's the type of thing where if I'm listening, and I guess most people listen in their cars. So I think that, I guess that's one unfortunate thing timing-wise for us, because nobody's really driving around much these days. But when I am, and I'm listening to you guys, I say, all right, one more song and I'll get out. And another song comes out. I just can't get out of the car, but it's great. I love it.
Well, thanks. Well, our coolest song in the world this week is Lost in Space, brand new single of yours on Wicked Cool Records. It's your third for 2020.
Amazing.
So if you felt bad about the virus hampering your music endeavors, at least you've been able to get three singles out so far, right?
It's unbelievable. I'm so thankful to all you guys and Lil Steven especially. And it's probably the greatest thing that's happened in my career. But the thing is that I just have so much respect for Steven and all of you people. And it's such a great family to be part of.
So let's talk about the new single. So Lost in Space, are you singing about yourself and people as animals?
Well, people are animals, aren't they?
Yes.
Human beings are animals. And at the gut level, that's what we call ourselves, the human animal, right? But what originally sparked the idea for that song was the movie Mutiny on the Bounty, where Mr. Christian, I believe his name is, Clark Gable, they get stranded on this Polynesian island somewhere.
Well,
right?
Wait a minute, Mickey. You said Clark Gable. I think of that as Marlon Brando, right?
I guess there was one before him then.
Okay.
Yeah, because it was Clark Gable and Charles Laughton.
Right.
Anyway, whoever it was, they fall in love with a native girl who can't understand the word he's saying, right? So that's hence the, you can't add 2 + 2. You can't tell red from blue. But obviously, if he asked her, is this red or blue, she wouldn't be able to say, right? But bottom line, you're an animal because just the instinct that I'm talking about, really.
When did you come up with the song?
Actually, I came up with the song a long time ago. It's obviously an homage to the Ramones in a way. Yeah. I didn't start out for it to be that way, but as I was writing the song, I realized that it would sound best done that way. So I brought it to my brother. This is around 1993, 94, that far back. I made a demo of it, Coyote Studios in Williamsburg, and I played it for him, and he really liked it, but he said John wouldn't want to do it.
Oh, why would that be?
He didn't really give me a reason. But, I know the reason, but that's a whole other involved story. It's about it's about vengeance and all kinds of things. They didn't want to do it. And that's when I wrote the song originally. After getting the inspiration from the Mutiny on the Bounty part, my mind went to another movie from my youth called Robinson Crusoe on Mars. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
I have seen it. It's been a long time.
It's been a while, right?
Right.
And the only person on this planet he's stuck on is the monkey that came in on the ship with him. I don't want to sound like some kind of a pervert or, for people to get the wrong idea, but it was the inspiration for the song. Combination of Mutiny on the Bounty and Robinson Crusoe Lost on Mars.
Well, you mentioned doing the demo years ago for your brother. When did you record your version?
2018.
Sorry,
yeah.
And so my notes have got mentioned Pat Carpenter being the drummer, and I know certainly before the shutdown, you had Philip Wesley Crawford playing bass, but he's not on the recording.
I recorded that whole album before Wes came. He was living in Florida.
Right.
I call him Wes. So he wasn't here.
Okay.
At that time. So I played everything. It's one of those Paul McCartney deals where I played everything except the drums on that whole album. Plus, I guess I may be a little selfish in this way, but things tend to go faster for me when I don't have to teach somebody else the parts. And just if I could just play them myself, I figure why not? But now that Wes is here, of course I would have him play.
Right. Well, you were talking about the Robinson Crusoe on Mars and the monkey, so I'm guessing that ties then into the, I was going to ask you about the artwork for the single, this monkey in space with a banana and the astronaut floating in the background coming towards him. So I guess that kind of ties into the Robinson Crusoe on Mars.
Yeah, exactly. It's called Lost in Space, but it's really a love song. Whether it's, a man and a woman, or man and a man, a woman and a woman, or a man and an alien. It's all about the love.
It's all about the love. Hey, who did the artwork for the single?
Well, a person named Spencer Alexander.
Yeah.
He's been in a band called Wildlife.
Yeah.
For the first single, and I loved what he does. So I thought, why not just continue with using Spencer? And he's came up with three great covers, or we collaborated on the ideas. Obviously, Spencer wouldn't have just put me in a spacesuit and then with a monkey wearing my gold Chuck Taylor's Converse sneakers. But Spencer Alexander is great, and he created the logo for us. The guy can do anything.
Well, I noticed that the shoes weren't tied on the monkey's Converse, so I guess that's an allusion.
You know those monkeys. Those monkeys are just—they're very uncivil sometimes, and they won't listen.
I was thinking you must have been at least a teenager, maybe older when Lancelot Link was on TV. Did you ever watch that?
Lancelot Link?
Yeah.
No, I don't recall that for some reason.
It was a kids' morning TV show, and they had real chimpanzees dressed up as detectives. And
wow. No, sorry, I missed that one. But, that sounds like one of those regional kind of shows. Was that in New York?
It was on the major networks. I think it was, I'm guessing here, but I want to say it was on ABC, but like Saturday mornings, like around 1970.
Right. But, even sometimes those stations have different shows. It seems amazing that there were three TV channels at one time.
I know. And it doesn't matter whether it's three or 300. Oftentimes, there's still nothing worth watching.
Worth watching, right. Yeah. Sometimes, especially these days, I find myself watching just about anything. I've become addicted to the news, to the triumvirate. CNN, MSNBC, and then I got to watch some Fox just to see what it is these people are so hypnotized by.
All right, I hear you. I sympathize with that, yeah.
Keep your friends close, but your enemies closer.
That's right.
So I really do like to even watch that Tucker Carlson, what that face he makes. I don't know, he's always got that confused look on his face, like he's just heard a big rumbling in his stomach and he doesn't know where that kid, the sound came from.
But he knows what the end result might be if he didn't have to change his pants,
right?
Well, let me ask you about you mentioned this having recorded a bunch of tracks. Is there any full-length Four Wicked Cool on the horizon? Is that something you guys are working towards, or just kind of seeing how it goes?
Well, if you could put in a good word for me, Manfred, maybe I would love to. That was the original idea, because I started talking to Stephen about this, I don't know, 3-4 years ago. I played him a song called The Stories That Never Got Told.
Yeah.
And he loved it. Then we had been talking about, I told him I was making a whole album, and he said that he'd be interested possibly in putting it out. And I guess it was in 2018 that I kind of finished it, and I had sent it to him. And I sent him a bunch of emails, and I just didn't hear back from him about it. But then when I was just about to put it out, I called him or texted him and said, well, I don't know, if I guess you weren't interested, but so I'm putting it out myself. And I sent him the album, and he texted me back, this shit is fucking great. I even put that on my Facebook page. how often do you get a text from somebody like that about your album and said, this shit is fucking great? Just those, five words, six. Then we talked about it, and he said that he would love to put some things out, but, it was a bit late to release it as an album, but he would put out singles.
Well, I'll definitely put a word into the great Do-Rag one. No problem with that. You mentioned that you put that Stephen quote on your Facebook page, and something caught my eye on there. It was some type of video likening you to Paladin from Have Gun Will Travel. So right. My questions here are, first, are you a big fan of the show and the character? And then secondly, what exactly is this project that you've got going on?
Well, I wanted to do something in these days of pandemonium. I didn't want to just do a typical Zoom thing, concert. To do something a little different. Yeah, I was a big fan of it. That was one of those Sunday night, I don't remember what day it was on, but when Gunsmoke and Bonanza and all those westerns were on. I just thought of having us transform. It's sort of like a combination of Paladin and the A-Team or there was something like that. But
right.
I just thought of it as an idea to do something a little different. And, you know, have the little stories. I wrote three of them so far that we could keep it going. And then play one of our videos at the end of it. Like an episode of The Monkees.
Well, people got to be checking that out. They need to go to your face. That's the best place to find it is to go to your Facebook page.
Well, I'll put it or on my YouTube, Official Mickey Lee Official on YouTube. Mickey.
Well, in between you and I chatting last April, I spoke with your drummer, Pat Carpenter, in August. And that's when your single, Little Christine, came out. And without any prompting, he told me that she's a real person. She's in the video. That you wrote the song and it's your story to tell. So now that we're back together again, what's the story on Little Christine?
Well, I'll try and keep this short, but it's kind of a long story. They had put my book out in Brazil in Portuguese. I slept with Joey Ramon.
Okay.
And then they asked me to come down there and do a little book signing tour. So I went to about 6-7 different cities in Brazil, but it started out in Sao Paulo at like the biggest bookstore in the city. And as I'm walking in, there was a girl standing being on the other side of the ropes. I just, I took a look at her and she gave me a smile and that was it. Boy. And I tried to talk to her. I was also before the book signing started, MTV wanted to do an interview, MTV Brazil, so I couldn't really talk to her. And then they opened up the line and it was just endless. And I kept looking over and she was still there waiting to talk to me. And I went over there to her for a minute to ask her name and et cetera. And I looked over again, maybe 2 hours later, and she was gone. I thought I'd never see her again. But then she wrote to me on Facebook, and when I wrote back to her, she asked me, she told me she was working in a mall nearby and I'd come see her, but I was on a plane to Caxias do Sul by that time. Mm-hmm. But we kept in touch. And I had a store in Rio de Janeiro called Joey Ramon Place. A friend of mine married a Brazilian woman and he was living in Rio. He had kids and he told me they needed some direction. They had nothing to do. So I was in there in Rio. And all these people are walking down the street in Ramon's t-shirts. Of course, they're all bootleg, all counterfeit.
Right.
And I said, is there a store that sells like the rock and roll t-shirts and things like that? And he said, no. So the light went off because my brother and I had always wanted to open up a place, a rock club. Couldn't make it a rock club, but it just more of like a rock and roll t-shirt kind of place, but mostly Joey stuff and some Ramones. And I wanted to give a percentage. I was going to give, I found a charity down there. I was going to give 50% of any proceeds to that charity and have an event every week where unsigned bands could come in there and play acoustically. And we would advertise it on Joey Ramone's Facebook page. It was just impossible because of tax situation there, especially for a gringo having a business down there. It was just kind of made it impossible. We'd send packages of things down there and pay the tax and then get a message from them saying they're holding the box until we pay another tax. And that didn't work out. But I was talking to Lou Christine and I told her about, I was having problems with the manager there when we were getting into some tax trouble. And she told me that she had just graduated from accounting school, a college. And I said, asked her if she would come to Rio and manage the store. And she did. But it wasn't just all business between us, So when she told me she was going to come to Rio, I knew it was not just to manage the store, that we were going to meet. And the story that's in the song is pretty much what happened.
And so she's in the video as well.
Right. So the store thing didn't work out. But we sort of kept in touch. And then about a year or so later, she came to New York City on a education visa. Mm-hmm. And it was just about at the time that we were doing that video. So I spoke to the guy who was directing it, Jose Funahara, who was also the original bass player for the Plasmatics, but a very talented photographer and filmmaker, about having the actual Christine in the video. And the idea flew, and it worked out. I don't know if there is another song about a girl, and the actual girl the song is about is in the video.
I don't know either. Very cool.
Yeah.
We're going to go out on that song, but first, Mickey, thanks for joining me for our coolest conversations today, and have a great rest of the year and the holidays, and look forward to seeing you in 2021.
Thank you so much, Manfred, and the Underground Garage is just about the coolest place you can be all the time.
You are certainly welcome, sir. Let's hear some Mickey Lee's Mutated Music. It's Little Christine and Little Steven's Underground Garage. That was a bit of Little Christine from Mickey Lee's Mutated Music here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. It's the A-side to a single of theirs out on Wicked Cool Records that came out this past August. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to Mickey for speaking with me on our Coolest Conversations, and thanks also to Olivia Callahan for producing our podcast. I look forward to speaking next with guitarist Ricky Byrd. He's played with the likes of Joan Jett, Roger Daltrey, Ian Hunter, Paul McCartney, and a host of other greats. Now, he's got a new solo album out called Sobering Times, and we'll find out all about it on our next Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage.
There's a place in New York where you can walk through the actual front doors of the world's most famous recording studio, Abbey Road. Through those doors, past the Beatles, Pink Floyd, Radiohead, and countless other rock giants. Where can you find those doors? At the Hard Rock Cafe Times Square. The Abbey Road doors and thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock Cafes, Hard Rock Casinos, and Hard Rock Hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.